Reading from Bhajan Rahasyam, chapter 5, which is called Panchamayam Sadhana. And this chapter, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining how to develop attachment for the holy name and for the practice of Krishna Bhajan. How to come to this level of asakti. There's nishta, ruchi, and asakti. And asakti is precedes bhava and then prema. So it's a very advanced stage of Krishna devotion. And this entire chapter, which is over 20 verses, he quotes from different places to describe pretty much what is the meaning of one word in this verse. Because verse number 5 in the Shikshastakam, this verse, Ayinandatanajikintkaram patitam mam vishame bhavambudo kripaya tava padapankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. O son of Nanda Nandan, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of omniscience. Please pick me up from this ocean of suffering and keep me fixed as an atom at the dust of your lotus feet. This prayer represents the crying of the heart of a devotee who's beginning to genuinely and honestly experience separation from the object of bhajan. The object of bhajan is known as bhajaniya. Bhajaniya means Sri Krishna, the person. At the stage of asakti, one has realized that Krishna and Krishna's nam, rup, and guna are all transcendental. When one chants the holy name of Krishna, then he perceives and realizes Krishna's form. That's the initial darshan that one has of Krishna. He sees Krishna in his name. And when he sees Krishna while chanting his holy name, he actually feels genuinely separation. And at this level, one begins to cry for the Lord. So this is the level of crying for the Lord. So the entire verse is describing this mood that comes. The mood that comes at the level of asakti is one very much identifies as Krishna's servant. He doesn't think anything more than, I want to serve Krishna. And he only asks one question, Kim Karomi? Ai Nanda Tanusha Kinkaram? Kinkaram means Kim Karomi. What can I do? We read one commentary. This word kinkaro means, what can I do? How can I serve you? There's only one question. There's only one question that a devotee should have. There's no other question he needs to ask. He only needs to ask one question. O Gurudev, how can I serve you? O Sri Krishna, how can I serve you? He doesn't have to ask any other question. This is all that's required. Of course, we ask so many questions about tattva and siddhanta. Usually we ask these questions called how-to questions. How to become humble, how to become sincere, how to be tolerant, how to be peaceful. These are very much asked. Once one ISKCON sannyasi, he gave a class in Mayapur. And after the class he said, I will entertain any questions concerning the topics of the class, but please no one ask me any questions how-to. No how-to questions. How to be sincere, how to be humble, how to become pure, this, that, you know. Whatever. How to not ask how-to questions. So, the only question we need to ask is, how can I serve you? And that's usually the last question. That's usually the question we never ask. We never ask that question. We ask so many questions about tattva, siddhanta, guru tattva, nam tattva, creation, rasa, prema, the origin of the jiva, sarup, this, that, this question, I have this question, you know, I have this question. Yes, you come every day and you ask so many questions, but you never ask me one question. Gurudev, how may I serve you? That's a very common thing. Very, very common thing, which we have direct experience of. When I was a new devotee, I kept thinking, every time Prabhupada came to the temple, in L.A. or San Francisco, I kept thinking, oh, I want to ask Prabhupada a question. I want to ask Prabhupada a question. Because I would see other devotees would ask questions, and then Prabhupada would look at them and say, do you understand? And so they would interact with Prabhupada, and I thought this would give me an opportunity to interact with Prabhupada in a personal way. And every time I came, I kept thinking, oh. And even sometimes I'd have questions before class or a few days before he was coming, and I'd write them down even. Even now I have some book of questions. And then I read his purports or hear his tapes, and then that question would get eliminated. Then he would come and I'd have no questions. And then during the class, he'd be speaking. I think, oh, I have to ask a question after this question. The whole class would go by, and then I wouldn't have any questions. And he'd say, any questions? And I wouldn't have any questions. And I said, oh. Then I said, I guess my only question is, how can I serve you? And I didn't have to ask that question. I didn't even have to ask that question because the temple commander already figured that out. And he would engage us in so many services. I didn't have to ask him. He said, do this, do that, do this. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur spends the entirety of this purport explaining Kinkara. So we'll read the different verses about Kinkara. As we know, Kinkara means, how can I serve you? Kinkara means to be a servant. And Kinkari means to be a mantri. Kinkari. Kinkari Bhav. Pi Radharani's intimate mantri. So it goes to this extent. Service goes up to this extent. You can serve Krishna as a servant, as a house servant, or a normal common servant, or you can serve Krishna as a friend, like a coward boy, or you can serve Krishna like a gopi, or you can serve Krishna like a mantri. And mantris, they're just serving, of course, they're mostly serving Radharani, but also serving Krishna and bringing Radha and Krishna together. So he begins to explain the general meaning of the word kinkaram. And this, at the beginning, because this is about asakti. Asakti goes from ruchi. Ruchi then becomes asakti, then from asakti to bhava. So there becomes a thickening or condensing of this principle of seva bhav. Kinkara means seva. The mood and sentiment and feelings that I am Krishna's servant. I am my guru's servant. That is really my only identity. I have no other function in life. I have no other actual, you can say, life than to serve. But now we have so many other lives. We have our mental life and our sensual life and our intellectual life, our emotional life, our physical life. We have so many different lives. And all these lives produce so many desires and needs and necessities. But ultimately the necessity of the Atma is only one. And that is the need to serve. Because the word prayojan, what does the word prayojan mean? We say sambandha abhideya prayojan. Prayojan means the ultimate necessity. What is the we sometimes say goal, but actually goal means sadhya. But prayojan means necessity. What is an ultimate necessity of the jiva? What is the need? What does a jiva need? What does every jiva need? What does every living entity need? Every living entity needs love. And love means service. And the perfection of love is prema, and the perfection of prema seva is to serve Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur begins his chapter-wise description, or chapter-long description of this Kinkara with this verse from Bhagavatam, which is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. So you can say that Gopi Bhav begins here. Gopi Bhav or Kinkari Bhav begins with this concept of being a servant. The general meaning of Kinkaram means to be a servant of Krishna. So to be a servant of Krishna means to serve Krishna in 9 different ways. So this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives the term achyuta bhajan. He says this is achyuta bhajan. Everyone, we like to hear these terms like antarmukh shishya and bahirmukh shishya. And all these things that kind of capture our attention. One mukh means face, right? Bahir means out. So one whose face is turned away from, there's two types of disciples that their faces are turned away from the guru. And there's two types of disciples, their faces are turned towards the guru. So when your face is turned towards the guru, then you know what he wants. And you do it without asking. And when your face is turned away, you don't know what he wants. Maybe you hear, or maybe you don't hear. That's my initial response when you said those terms. So first, before we read this verse, we'll read this verse number 4, where he describes achyuta bhajan. By doing achyuta bhajan, one can attain peace. This is how to rise from asakti to bhava. So this is from 11th canto, chapter 2, verse 43. Ityachu tangrim bhajato nivritya bhaktir vivraktir bhagavat prabhoda bhavanti vaya bhagavatasya rajams tata param shantim upaiti shakshat. O king, this is Navyogendra Shiksha, King Nimi. O king, whoever devoutly worships the lotus feet of Bhagavan, achyuta angrim bhajato. This is achyuta bhajan. Angra means lotus feet, and Bhajito means worship or bhajan, and Chuta means Krishna. Whoever performs a Chuta bhajan will develop detachment from material existence and devotion for him, or Chuta, Krishna, that is saturated with prema. All knowledge related to Bhagavan will manifest in his heart, and thus he will begin to experience extreme peace. This is the Navyogendra's Kavi Rishi instructing that by following this process of bhakti sadhan shown by Rupa and Raghunath, who are following the gopis, this is the method to awaken lobha or greed. So the commentator is saying that actually in this level of progressive bhajan, following Rupa and Rupa and Sanatan, the acharyas are repeatedly telling us two things: to pray and to weep for the sentiments of elevated devotees. Sadhana means to practice bhakti through the senses and with the aim of attaining sarup siddhi. When bhava appears, one's practice is no longer sadhana bhakti but bhava bhakti. And when one achieves vastu siddhi, he will attain prem seva. Vastu means substance. Vastu siddhi means his perfected pure spiritual body, siddha deha. In that pure spiritual body, we will attain the eternal service of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan in pure love. So before that, at the stage of sadhana, we read the teachings of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. And by reading their books and teachings, we hear about their feelings. They reveal their feelings. What are their feelings towards Radha and Krishna? How are they feeling separation? How are they crying for them and praying for their darshan and praying for their seva with great vilap, lamentation, and feeling so much emptiness, feeling so much emptiness without the direct darshan of Radha and Krishna, feeling so much sadness and separation. So these are their moods, moods of separation, moods of sadness, moods of humility, intense humility, unbelievable humility. And when we read these, the acharyas say that we should pray to these persons. We should pray. Like sometimes poor people, they pray to a rich man. Oh, please, they go to the rich man. And they go to the rich man with a very humble presentation. Their head hanging down. And they meet the rich man and they have tears in their eyes and they're crying. And they may fold their hands in supplication and even get down on their hands and knees. Or somehow very humbly present themselves to the rich man, and they may beg, "Oh, rich man, please, please, I'm starving, I'm suffering, I'm really destitute, and you know, I have 10 children, and my wife is sick, and you know, my babies are crying, I don't have any food, please, please, please give me some money, please, can you help me, please?" And so they're begging with their words, and they're crying with their hearts. So they're begging and crying. So usually, rich men, if they have any heart, which is sometimes they don't, but if they do, then they will be moved. They will be impressed. They will be forced to reciprocate with this humble entreaty of this suffering individual, and they will bestow riches upon him or give him sufficient wealth to overcome his difficulty. So we are also beggars on the path of bhajan. We are beggars on the path of bhajan. Like this, we say the sannyasis and these Vaishnav sannyasis, they carry dandas and they say Tri Dandi Bhikshu. Bhikshu. Bhikshu means beggar. So we are all in this line of Lord Chaitanya, we're all beggars. As our Gaura Govinda Swami, he said in Bhuvaneshwar one time in one lecture, he said that here in Bhuvaneshwar, in what we call Raman Reti, Krishna and Balaram are having their Leela. Because Prabhupada said this is Raman Reti, so you should put Krishna Balaram here. So we brought Krishna Balaram here to Raman Reti in Orissa. And I've opened one crying school here. I want everyone to cry for Krishna. So Prabhupada, he taught us the same thing. From day one, he taught every devotee in ISKCON in 1966 in New York. He said, "Listen, everyone, I want you all to become babies. Now you're grown men and ladies, and you think you're so smart, and you're so wealthy and aristocratic and American and so many things, so proud. But now I want you to again become babies. I want you to become babies and I want you to cry. I want you to cry for Krishna, just like the genuine crying of a child for his mother. And this is how Prabhupada taught us to chant Hare Krishna. Who has actually ever taken the instruction to heart? This is his first instruction. Prabhupada comes to New York, 1966. One should chant the holy name of the Lord like the genuine crying of a child for his mother. So this is the same, and all the acharyas are telling like this. Our first crying is to the holy name. Then when we grow up a little bit and we get some further teaching, they say, okay, now cry to Rupa Goswami. Now cry to Raghunath Das. Cry for Rag Bhakti. Cry for the bhakti that's in their heart. So cry and pray. This is what's being told here. Pray and weep for the sentiments. We want the sentiments means feelings. Feelings means love. Love means bhav. What is the goal of our sadhana? Is the goal of our sadhana to go back to Godhead? No. The goal of our sadhana is not to go back to Godhead. The goal of our sadhana is bhav. And the goal of our bhav, of course that happens pretty much simultaneously, but the goal of our bhav is prem. So our goal is this. Prema Pumartha Mahan. So prem, what is prem? Prem is sentiments, feelings. It's not something mechanical. It's not something dry or empty. It's something very deep, heart deep. So these type of sentiments are not within us. We're hard-hearted. Mandasa manda matayo, manda bhagyu padrata. We are unfortunate, hard-hearted, lazy. So these sentiments are swirling in the hearts of the liberated souls, the perfected beings. So there we pray for them. Please mix your sentiments with my heart. Your hearts are like fire, my heart's like iron. My heart is like iron because it's full of lust. Krishna's Kaviraj says lust is like iron and prema is like gold. Tata Kanchana Gaurangi. Your hearts are mixed with the heart of Radharani. So she's molten gold, so your hearts are molten gold. So let your molten gold touch my iron heart. I mean, especially us, we're born in Kali Yuga. Everything's made of iron. Everything's made of steel. Steel watch, steel car, steel heart, steel house. Everything's steel. Iron Age. Even the coins are made of iron. They paint them, they dip them in aluminum paint or something. But these coins, all these Indian coins, are iron. And the children go in the Radhakund with a magnet. They get an old radio with a magnet, and they drop it in the water, and they pick up all the coins. There's no silver. There's no silver or copper or anything in the coin. It's iron dipped in aluminum. You know, this rupee coin. So this is the nature of our hearts are like this. So the method of Achyuta Bhajan is to read about the teachings of the devotees like Rupa and Sanatan and Raghunath, and then pray, remember their teachings, pray to them, and cry for their sentiments. Please bless me that your feelings and bhavas will come in my heart. So now that he establishes that this type of bhajan, Achyuta Bhajan, or worshipping Krishna's feet, knowledge will come by this, will become saturated with prem. Now the next question is, well, how does one become a kinkara? I.e. Nanda Tanasha Kinkaram. What is this Kinkaram? What is this service? We say Kinkaram, Kim Karomi means Kim, what? Karomi, may I do? Kim Karomi, what may I do? How may I serve you? So the lady is putting some sticks there or something. You know, they're firewood or something. So now Bhaktivinoda Thakur, step by step, he's saying, so Kim Karomi, service begins in this way. Service will give us this benefit of knowledge and peace. And then it begins this way. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Parasevanam, Archanam Vananam Dasyam, Sakyam Atna Nivedanam. Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu, Bhaktischena Vilakshana, Kriyate Bhagavat Yada, Tanmanye Ditam Uttamam. This is how Kinkara, or this mood of Kinkara, means eternal servant. It begins like this. To hear, chant, and remember Krishna. So then he goes on to the next verse. The next verse, he explains. First Bhaktivinoda explains steadiness. By accepting Krishna's mercy, or kripa, then we do a chuta bhajan. We become peaceful. Then we will realize what he's telling here. This is a more developed conception of kinkaram. This now, in this verse, he's saying how we will realize his dasya rati. When one cultivates this kind of devotion, bhava will gradually arise and dasya rati will naturally arise within him. This is evident in Vritrasura's prayer. So kinkaram, this word kinkaram, it goes through evolution. Because this is the most important word in verse 5 of Shikshastakam, to understand the principle of asakti, to how to become attached to Krishna. Attachment to Krishna is based on service. The more we identify as a servant, the more we serve the Lord, the more we become attached to him, then this attachment reveals not only Krishna, but ourselves as well. And then that's called bhava. So this verse, what the acharyas are saying, Canto 6, Chapter 11, verse 24. This is Vritrasura's prayer from Bhagavatam. This is called an abhas of Gopi Bhav. This is actually, in the Bhagavatam, this is the first verse to give the hint of Kinkari Bhav or Gopi Bhav, which means to offer one's entire body for the pleasure of Krishna. This appears in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. Of course, the entire Bhagavatam is leading to Radha Bhav, or the pure mood of a kinkari or pure mood of a servant of Krishna found in the gopis of Braj and especially Radharani. So this Vritrasura, who is King Chitraketu, and he's a devotee, but temporarily he was covered with a demon's body, but his heart was a devotee. Like you go on a play, you may be a devotee, a Vaishnava, but you may disguise yourself as a demon. Like you go in some drama, in Bhakti Vedanta players, and you play the role of Ravana. But you're not Ravana. You're only playing in a drama. So this Vritrasura was in a costume. Chitraketu was in a costume of Vritrasura, but he was actually a pure devotee. So because he's a pure devotee, he could understand the mood of the gopis. He can understand what is this pure mood, this pure seva bhav. Kinkara means, initially kinkara just means service. Then it becomes specific in dasyarati. Then it becomes more specific as one goes up to Madhurya, Madhurarati. So here he says, Aham hare tava padaika mula, dasano daso bhavitasmi buya, manas mare tasu pater gunam te, granita vakarma karotakaya. Now this is the first hint of kinkari or mantri bhav in the Bhagavatam. The living entity is your eternal servant, said Vritrasura, but by the misuse of his free will, he has forgotten his position of eternal servitude. Consequently, he is caught in the snare of Maya and endures many kinds of afflictions in this material existence. Moreover, the desire to become the servant of your servant can only be fulfilled by the causeless compassion of Guru and Vaishnavas. This mood of servitorship can only be obtained by performing bhakti. O Lord, please bestow such mercy upon me that in my next birth I may obtain the opportunity to exclusively serve the servants who have taken shelter of your lotus feet. May my mind always remember your all auspicious qualities, my speech always chant the glories of these qualities, and my body always remain engaged in your service. Because he's mentioning all these aspects, I want my mind engaged in your service, I want my body, my words. So this is why he's indicating Kinkari Bhav or Mantri Bhav, because the gopis, unlike anyone else in Vrindavan, they're offering everything they have, even their very bodies, every ounce and inch of their body for the pleasure and service of Krishna. So that's why there's this indication. And the whole mood and the mood of the prayer indicates this Gopi Bhav. Bhaktivinoda Thakur puts the same prayer in Bengali, which we want to read in the translation. Chinutava nitya dasa gale bandi maya pasha samsare payino nana klesha hebe puna karyash hayatava dasara das bhajipai Tava bhakti lesh, praneshvara tava guna, smarukmana puna puna, tava nama jiva karukan, karadravya tava karma, karya labuka sharma, tava pare sampinu paran. He says, I am your eternal servant. Due to misfortune, I have forgotten you. Maya has trapped me, and bound me in chains, and cast me into the material world to suffer various miseries. Now my only aspiration is to become a servant of your servants. Then I can engage in your bhajan and become and obtain a particle of bhakti. O Lord of my life, may my mind always remember your glories and qualities. May my tongue always sing your names. May my hands always engage in serving you. My entire being is being offered at your lotus feet. Tava pari sampino paran. Kara dravya tava karma kariya labuk sharma. So this is now Bhaktivinoda Thakur is trying to deepen our conception of Kinkara Bhav or Kinkaram, Ainanda Tanusha Kinkara. As I mentioned again and again, every single verse in this chapter on Nam Bhajan at the level of a Sakti is all about one word, Kinkara. So what one does in Nam Bhajan, in Bhajan Rahasyam, he studies these verses independently. Each of these verses, he reads them in the Bhagavatam. He reads the word for word meaning. He reads the purport. He reads the commentaries of the Acharyas. Then he prays. He prays to Shukadeva Goswami. He prays to Vyasadeva. He prays to Vritrasura. And he prays to the Acharyas that the sentiments that are being revealed, the sentiments, the bhav, it's all about bhav, the feelings of love and bhav, the sentiments that are contained in this verse, which are full of asakti, full of deep attachment to Krishna, that these sentiments of asakti and these moods of love and attachment to Krishna, they will come into our hearts. They will descend into our hearts from them. So this is the prayer aspect of bhajan. That bhajan rahasyam, the secret of this is prayer, study and prayer, and crying. And the second aspect is we chant Nam, we chant the Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, along with studying this verse. We chant the Maha Mantra and look at this verse and read the translation. And we pray to Vritrasura that your teachings are being revealed to me here in the pages of the Bhagavatam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has selected your teachings because they are indicative of a sakti for Nam Bhajan. And you are also acting through Bhaktivinoda Thakur to teach me how to have Kinkari Bhav. You are revealing Kinkari Bhav in your prayer. And this is what I am aspiring for. This is my prayojan. To aspire to have Kinkari Bhav, to have these intense and deep moods of surrender and attachment that you have. May my mind always remember, this is to Krishna, your all auspicious qualities. May my speech always chant the glories of these qualities, and may my body always remain engaged in your service. So this is how the gopis live. They live like this. Now this is, again, getting a little more higher in realization as Kinkari. This is from 10th canto itself. This is a final realization of Kinkari Bhav. This is called developing the mood of a gopi. How a devotee desires to become Radha's Kinkari. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur is presenting a path of bhajan. This path of bhajan, this is called Rahasyam, secrets of bhajan. Because primarily, in the majority of cases, at least for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, most Gaudiya Vaishnavas are being directed, let's say, towards this prayojan or this goal, or ultimate necessity of Manjari Bhav or Gopi Bhav. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give this Braja Bhakti and especially assigned his leading devotees to broadcast the particulars, the ways and means to attain this Kamanuga Bhakti in the mood of Tat-Tat Bhavichami Ichamayi Bhakti for the Lord, which is the mood of the Kinkaris or Sakis of Radharani. This is propagated by Sri Rupa Goswami and Nectar Devotion Ujjvala Nilamani and by Sanatana Goswami and by Raghunath Das Goswami. So sadhana bhakti at the level of Vaidhi will bring us to Rag Sadhana. And rag sadhana means the greed, the intense greed or attachment to follow the moods of love of the residents of Vrindavan, especially in these three rasas of Madhurya, Matsalya, and Sakya. But here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, specifically this book, Bhajan Rahasyam, is teaching the path of Manjri. You can say Manjri through Bhajan, because ultimately at the level of Bhav, we will realize Manjri Sarup. We can realize Manjri Sarup, or Siddhadeya. So here he's preparing us for that realization. Because to have that realization, to attain that sadhya, that goal, is only possible if one attains that bhava. Without that bhava, one cannot attain that form. Form comes from bhav. Everywhere in every scripture is telling, without bhava, there's no form. Yam yam vapi saran bhavam, dhyachit yanti kalevaram. So whatever you're remembering, whatever your bhav is, smaran bhav, that will become your form. You will get that form. That will manifest. That will be awarded through the transcendental arrangement of Sri Nam Prabhu, Sri Krishna, and the Seva, Bhakti Devi. All through the mercy of Guru. Without Guru, there's no name. There's no Seva, and there's no Bhakti. So therefore, this chapter is becoming, you know, everything's becoming very focused here. Becoming very, you know, I mean, generally up until this level of asakti, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was giving general instructions for bhajan. Develop ruchi and nam, develop nishtha and nam, develop shraddha, sarasanga, nishtha, ruchi. Now he's becoming very focused. This book, Bhajan Rahasyam, is specifically the path of bhajan to develop kinkari bhav or mandri bhav, i.e. nanda tanusha kinkaram. Radharani is offering this prayer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna and Radha Bhav. So Krishna, in the mood of Radharani, is saying, "I Nanda Nandan, O son of Nanda." Who's talking to Nanda? Who is Nanda Nandan? He's Krishna. Is that right? Who is offering this prayer? Radharani. Radharani is saying, "Hey Nanda Nandan, I'm your kinkari. I'm your maidservant. I'm your gopi. I'm your servant. Please keep me fixed on your lotus feet." And then there's so much crying and so much Nainam Galardashajaryu. Then there's great separation. Separation from whom? Govinda. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Govinda Virahename. Oh Govinda, I'm feeling your separation. Where have you gone? You've gone to Mathura? You've gone to Dwarka? Where are you? Please come back. And then, oh, you've come back. Then the next verse is Ashlishiva Padavatam Panashtamam. Oh, you're my Prananath. You're the Lord of my heart. Whose heart? Radharani. So this prayer is being offered by Krishna in the mood of Radha Bhav. And Radharani is offering this prayer. So when one takes this prayer leads one actually to the service of Radha and Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's seeing that Shikshastakam is the ideal prayer for one who is cultivating bhajan in a mood of Gopi Bhav, which is a basic gift of Gaudiya Sampradaya, Raj Bhakti and Gopi Bhav. So this is why you see from here on in all the verses that he's citing, all the reference verses that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is citing are about explanations of kinkari bhav. First, generally kinkara. Kinkara, what is this mood of a servant or seva? Then dasya rati. Now it's becoming madhurya rati, or service and conjugal love as gopi, mandri, maidservant of Radharani. And then he develops that theme throughout the whole chapter. Why is that? Because he himself is Kamala Mandri. He is a mandri. And his son is also a mandri. Naina Mani Mandri. Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati is a mandri. And the whole line he's coming from Bhaktivinoda Thakur as a mandri. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, in so many places, he said, although my father, he asked me to take diksha from Gaurakishore to set a precedent, rather than, because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati saw everything, he received everything from his father. He printed all of his father's books. He spent all of his money and all his time preaching the conclusions of his father and establishing the mission of his father. Established the yoga pit. His father said, "You please establish the yoga pit." He did it. The whole life mission of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was to carry out the orders and instructions of his guru, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And because his guru asked him to take diksha from Gaurakishore, then he took diksha. Because generally, if someone takes diksha from their father, then the father is considered kula guru. He's not really considered proper guru, proper diksha guru. So therefore he said, you go outside of, don't take from me. Although he already taken so many mantras from his father. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave Brahma Gayatri, he gave mantras to worship Korma Shila, and so many mantras, he already gave mantra diksha to his son for so many pujas and other things. But for actual diksha in Gopal Mantra and Kam Gayatri and other mantras, he sent in the Gaurakishore Das Babaji to show the example that one should take proper diksha from, not from family guru or Jati Gosai, but from actually from proper parampara. Because Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he's an Advaita Sampradaya. But our Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's a Nityananda Sampradaya. So it's very interesting, he didn't even ask him, although I'm a Nityananda Sampradaya, coming from Janava, he said, you go to Gaurakishore, who's an Advaita Sampradaya. Because ultimately there's only one Sampradaya, that's Chaitanya Sampradaya. And Bhakti Ratnakar, Nahari Chakravarti Thakur, says, this is the Nimai Sampradaya. He says that this Chaitanya Sampradaya, it's called Nimai Sampradaya. Sampradaya Nimai Pandit. Although officially we call ourselves the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took from Ishwarpuri, and Ishwarpuri is connected to Madhavendrapuri, and Madhavendrapuri is connected to Madhva Sampradaya. But if you look in terms of Siddhanta, we're a unique presentation of Siddhanta, Achintya Bheda Veda Tattva, which is different than Madhva's philosophy. So he did that, and his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he's Manjari, he's propagating Manjari Bhav, or Gopi Bhav, as Braj Bhakti. So Bhajan Rahasyam is specifically the book for any devotee who is inspired or inclined or attracted to Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. If Prabhupada's Ishtadev was Krishna Balaram, he wouldn't put himself in a meditation of Radha and Krishna and Kunja Leela before he spoke Bhagavatam. Because when anyone speaks to Bhagavatam, they will always, when anyone speaks Harikata, Bhagavatam, Ramayana, or whatever, they always offer Mangalacharan. It's called Mangalacharan. And Mangalacharan are called invocatory prayers. And in the invocatory prayers, the Pracharak, or the Sannyasi, Swami, Babaji, whomever, who's speaking, he will always glorify his Ishtadev. This is the principle. So when Murari Bapu speaks, Murari Bapu is a very big speaker, but he's a devotee of Ram and Hanuman. So when he chants his Mangalacharan, he doesn't chant Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. He chants so many prayers to Ram and Hanuman. And when any different acharyas, they'll chant prayers to their Ishta. So it's very clear, just by this, because this is the standard, this is the law, that when a Pracharak writes a book, in his Mangalacharan, he glorifies his Ishtadev. Or when he begins to speak Harikata, he glorifies his Ishtadev. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Is that right? You've heard this prayer? Everyone's heard this prayer? I think so. So I don't find any Krishna Balaram here. So Prabhupada's Ishtadev was Radha Govinda, Radha Madhava, from childhood. Because whatever we have samskara for, whatever we have sthayi bhava for, whatever our sthayi bhava for is whatever, inner attraction or permanent mellow or love for will manifest from birth. So Prabhupada from birth, or eternally, he's been worshipping Radha Govinda and Braja Prem. So from his very birth, the family deities in their house is Radha Govinda. The neighborhood deities were Radha Govinda. The first deities he ever got personally given by his father were Radha Govinda. And throughout his life he's worshipping Radha Govinda. And Mayapur, there's Radha Madhava. In Calcutta, Radha Govinda. In New York, Radha Govinda. And this is very clear who Prabhupada's Ishtadev is. And if your Ishtadev is Radha Govinda, then how do you serve them? You serve them as Gopi. Gopi Bhartu Padakamali or Dasan or Dasan or Dasan. Your Guru is a Gopi. Your Param Guru is a Gopi. Your Paratara Guru is a Gopi. So Prabhupada is a coward boy? Some people say this. This is not very sensible. At any rate, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this book Bhajan Rahasyam is a bhajan manual for anyone doing bhajan in the line of Bhakti Siddhanta and Srila Prabhupada. And now, up to this fourth verse, anyone can follow this book. And even anyone is in whatever sthayi bhava or unknown sthayi bhava or known sthayi bhava, they can follow the entire book and get nourishment for their particular attraction to Krishna, be it Vatsalya, Sakya, Dasya, or Madhurya Bhav in Braj Bhakti. But specifically the book from this point on, from verse 5, Ayinanda Tanacha Kinkaram, on through the last verse, Ashla Shiva Padaratam Panashtamam, this book is specifically preparing one to enter the realm of Manjari Srupa Bhajan, to actually engage in the bhajan of Radha and Krishna in the mood of Akinkari. Akinkari means a protected maidservant of Radharani, a Palyadasi. Like Kamala Mandri, like Rupa Mandri, like Rati Mandri, Rupa Goswami. So now it gets very exciting. Because this is like the essence of the secrets that Kamala Mandri, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Kamala Mandri. This is Swarup. Now he's saying, this is it. These are the secrets. This is all I know. I've written 100 books. This is the last book I'm writing. I'm about to leave this world. Do you want to know my secrets? Do you want to know what I've understood after reading hundreds and hundreds of books and giving hundreds and hundreds of lectures and writing over 100 books in Bengali, English, and Sanskrit? Now this is it. This is Bhajan Rahasyam. Practically, last book. This is 1902. 1904, he shut himself up in Samadhi in Puri. As far as I know, I think this is the last book. The list is there. You can see somewhere they have a list. It's 1902. Harinam Chintamani is written in 1900 or something. This is a sequel to Harinam Chintamani. Is for everyone. It's for everyone. And this is for everyone, especially up to Nadana Najanana Sundaram. And after that, it becomes more specialized, although everyone can also benefit. Developing the mood of a gopi. Text 7. Panchamayam Sadhana, Chapter 5. Sri Bhajan Rahasyam. How to develop the desire to become Radha's Manjari or Kinkari. By nature, the living entity is an object to be enjoyed. That's quite something to be realized. Our nature is to be enjoyed, not to enjoy. Bhogya Vastu. And Sri Krishna is the enjoyer, Bhokta. By performing bhajan in the association of Rasik Bhaktas, the desire to serve Sri Radha, who is permeated with transcendental bliss, becomes strong, and the loving sentiments of the gopis, Gopi Bhav, awaken. So here, is being in this introduction to this verse, this is very much being stressed is association. Everything comes by association. Reading is also association. Hearing classes is also association. Meeting with Vaishnavas is all different forms of association, sadhu sangha, because books are full of sadhus' teachings. So, this is sadhu sangha. Because from sadhu sangha, or associating with holy men, then we get knowledge. Right? We have to hear about things. We get knowledge. Radhe Radhe. And from knowledge, this is like, without knowledge, no desire or inspiration can awaken, Radhe Shyam. So we need knowledge. So first there's Gyan, knowledge. Then from knowledge comes desire, Icha. Then we get some knowledge of something, we hear about something and we get knowledge of it. Then we start to think about it, right? We hear something, that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering this Braja Bhakti. He's offering what's never been given before, that one can actually have this realization, this Gopi Bhav. One can actually enter the eternal service of Radharani. Then we hear about the servants of Radharani and how they please Radharani and what beautiful sentiments and loving exchanges they share with one another. And we hear about the sweetnesses of the bhavas and activities of Braj. Then if we never hear of these things, if we never read about these things, then we can never get knowledge of these things. If you don't have knowledge of something, then a desire to attain that thing can never arise in the mind. So it's unfortunate that in the Vaishnav Samaj, some people are telling, don't read about Radha and Krishna. I mean, it's unbelievable. But some people in some circles, they say, don't read these so-called esoteric books about Radha and Krishna. But we are made to hear about Radha and Krishna. We are meant. We have ears. We have human ears. Human ears are only meant to hear about Radha and Krishna. They're not meant to hear anything else. And without hearing, without that hearing, knowledge can't come. And without knowledge, desire can't arise. But when you hear and you gain knowledge, then you get this knowledge, then you start thinking, this sounds very sweet. It sounds very attractive, very personal, and so much loving mood. And it's so much different than the material world. and so much different than all the relationships and experiences I've ever had in my life. And this is what the spiritual world is like. I feel very attracted. This is very, very, very pleasing to my mind, very satisfying to my heart. So then, as we start to consider, and think about these things more and more, that's called cheshta. Cheshta means planning. First you hear and get knowledge, then you start considering, mulling over, thinking about. It's called manana, meditating on, concentrating, thinking about what you've heard. And then from that comes desire, right? And then when that is from desire, you think, oh, this is nice. I would like to attain such a state. I would like to go to such a place. How is it possible? How can I attain such a bhava, such a feeling? I can also attain a siddhadeha, a spiritual body. I can also enter this world of love, this kingdom of divine sentiments and beautiful, sweet dealings and feelings among all these beautiful. These are really the beautiful people. These are the beautiful people I'm looking for. These are the beautiful people I'm hankering to meet. I've been looking for these kind of people all over the place, all over the world. I've been looking for beautiful people and beautiful friends and sweet lovers and kind people. And now I find that those people are in the pages of Bhagavatam and they live in Vrindavan and I want to go there. So from this knowledge, this gyan, then comes this desire. Then we start thinking, yes, I want this. And then we start thinking more and more about it. And this is a cheshta. We start planning, how can I get it? And then we act. And we begin to act. Because our desire gets so strong, we think, well, how can I get this? And where can I get this? And I want this. How can I attain this? And then we act to attain it. So this is called gyan, icha, cheshta, kriya. So some people that block this whole thing. Don't read these things. You're not qualified. Oh, why? I have 2 ears. No, that's not enough. You need 4 ears. You have to have 4 ears to hear these things. Now the qualification is that the desire to attain perfection. The very guru, the founder of Acharya Viskan, the first book he gave everyone is about Radha and Krishna. He gave teachings to Lord Chaitanya, 1969. Teaching Lord Chaitanya is all about Ramananda Roy's teachings. It's all about Radha and Krishna. Then Krishna book. It's all Braj Leela. These two books are so powerful. And some people never even heard of them. Never heard of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's a summary of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this verse here that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is citing in terms of a sakti, developing attachment in non-bhajan, he's explaining this concept of kinkara. Ayunanda tanuja kinkaram. Kinkaram means how can I serve you? Or kinkara means dasyabhav. Or kinkara means kinkaribhav. And kinkaribhav is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is trying to teach in this book, Bhajan Rahasyam. So he cites a verse directly from the gopis, from 29th chapter, 38th verse. Tanna prasida britinardana tengri mulam prapta visridja vasatis turupasanasha tvat sundara smitan rikshana tivra kama taptatmanam purushabhushana dehidasyam. Dehidasyam. This last word is dehidasyam. So the gopis are praying here. Krishna called them with his flute. And the gopis approached Krishna and said, oh, Brijinardana. And we say Janardan. Janardan means that person who is worshipped by everyone. Janardan. That's the name for Krishna. So Brijinardana means Brijini. Brijina means sufferings, or that one who takes away sufferings. And the gopis said, please, oh, you who remove all suffering. We've given up our homes and family members and relatives. We have come to your lotus feet only because we desire to serve you. O jewel among men, please be pleased with us. O best among men, your sweet smile and attractive glances have set our hearts on fire with a burning desire for intimate meeting with you. Tvat sundara smita nirikshana tivra kama. Sundara smita nirikshana. Sundara smita means your beautiful smile. Sundara smita nirikshana and your glances. Tivra kam. Kam means intense desire to please you. We say in our world, kam means lust. The lust to please myself. Intense desire to please myself. Or burning desire to satisfy my own mind and senses. But here, tivra means like a laser beam. Concentrated, powerful, concentrated, content, condensed. Tivra kam. We have an intense desire. We have a burning desire to please you. This very concept itself is completely inconceivable in the material world. Because we have a burning desire to please number one. And that number one is us. We burn with the desire, burn with sex desire or greed or envy, so many things. But the gopis are tivra kam. We sundara smita nirikshana. When we see your sundara, your beautiful, sweet, attractive, broad smile, and when your fingers are dancing on your flute and you're smiling as you're playing your flute and your glances are going side to side like the wagtail bird, then our hearts come on fire with intense desire to offer ourselves to you. Then they say, every pore of our bodies burns with this desire. Please accept us as your maidservants. So they say that Dehi Dasyam. This is Dehi. We say Dhanam Dehi, Janam Dehi. Dehi means give me. Give me Dasyam, Dehi Dasyam. So here the gopis are saying, they're asking, we want to be your Dasis. We want to be your Kinkaris. Kinkari means Dasi Bhav. They're Dehi Dasyam. They're begging, please, please accept us as your servants. So we'll continue there tomorrow. And we can also look at Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary in this verse to get further understanding of this Kinkari Bhav. Ayin Nanda Tanusha Kinkaram. Is there any comments or questions? Yes. Well, let him ask. Yes.
Maharaj, I want to ask two questions. For me, the little bit, quite not in mood, it's too presented, but not in the desire to be opponent to what you said. I just have desire to understand more deeply these two topics. One topic you mentioned is like your problem. Original mood and seva. And another one is connected with this listening about Radha Krishna pastor. So, 2 months ago, Shukha Kirti Prabhu visited our temple and he described his experience with Shri Prabhupada. He mentioned like one evening when he was massaging Shri Prabhupada like relaxed and he felt he might. I just want to be back in like in the spiritual world and go with Krishna and Balaram and like taking care about cows and all these things. So like that. So I don't want. I just like if you can comment more like if you have some comments, but they just to combine these two. Because you know there are some like I can speak, but there are these different kinds of gopas. Who are more connected with gopis and who are not at all like in that way. So I heard about it. So, should I ask a second question also?
Well, one at a time. Okay. I'm not so. I can't juggle so much at once. If a spiritual master is situated in this mood of Madhurya Bhav, then he can nourish any other Bhav. So, a disciple, he can attain nourishment. No matter what his sthayi bhav or what his mood of approaching or serving Radha and Krishna is, in Sakhi Ras or Madhurya Ras or Dasi Ras, it doesn't matter because the spiritual master at the level of Madhurya Bhav, because Madhurya Bhav includes all the bhavas. All the bhavas are there. The mood of nourishment, protection, and affection like a mother that Yashoda has. Radharani also has that. And the mood of a friend, an intimate friend and the mood of equality of the gopas have, Radharani also has. And the mood of just being a surrendered servant, that the house servants, or Raktak, Patrak, Radharani also has that. So Radharani and the Manjaris and Sakis, they have all the moods within them. So Guru Arasika Vaishnava, who is situated in Madhurya Bhav, or let's say Bhavalas Rati of Manjari Bhav, he can nourish a disciple on any level. So the disciple, he may see, because the gurus can have many, many features. They can have many, many aspects of their personality. And even you see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, when he's Lord Chaitanya, then he's dancing in Srivasangam. Everyone has a male body. So it appears that they're in the mood of Dasi Ras or Sakhi Ras with Lord Chaitanya. But when he enters the mood of Braj Bhav, then they all take on a bhav of being gopis and mandris and sakis. And Narahari Sakar is there, but then he's a sakhi. And then, you know, Mari Gupta, they all have their bhava deha. their mood of sakis, because they also have that sarup in Krishna Lila. So the guru, he can nourish a devotee in any particular sthayi bhav. So any number of disciples of the same guru, they can get encouragement or nourishment from their guru. That's one point. The other point is, someone, you know, some servant, a servant of Prabhupada said something that Prabhupada said at some point. It's very hard for me to base Siddhanta on that. I don't so much put much credibility in that. It may be true, maybe not true, that so-and-so said that Prabhupada said this. We have to see, just like, for example, someone takes the Bhagavad Gita, Indians are very, very, they like this practice very much. They say, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, do your karma. So they quote the sixth chapter, do your karma. Karma stay is phalam. Without attaching the results. Yes, Krishna says that in Gita, but Krishna speaks the entire Bhagavad Gita. So you have to see what he says at the beginning, the middle, the end, and what is the conclusion, what is the actual meaning and teaching of Bhagavad Gita. And that's what Krishna is saying. Because if you say, Krishna says, yes, do your karma, he says that in 6th chapter, but then in 18th chapter he says, don't do your karma. Because karma means your dharma. Dharma means actions. Actions according to Veda. If you're in this varna, you do this karma, and you're in this ashram, you do that karma. That's called dharma. Dharma means actions or karma. So then in the last chapter he says, abandon all your karmas and dharmas and surrender unto me and love me. Manmanabhavamadbhakto. So this is the actual message of Gita. Krishna says in 9th chapter, again in 18th, love me, serve me, become my devotee. Not do your karma and get stuck up in the samsara chakra. So the same way that so-and-so said, Prabhupada said this at one point, you know, that I want to be with the coward boys, or he wrote some one line in one bhajan, oh Krishna Balaram, I long for you, and then take a whole siddhanta and say, yes, Prabhupada's a coward boy. We have to see the entire presentation from the time Prabhupada appeared in this world till he left this world. What was he writing about? What was he glorifying about? What was he meditating on? Who did he establish worship of all around the world? Take the composite and the complete picture of Srila Prabhupada and see what is he presenting. And he's presenting Radha Madhava Kunja Seva. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. So he's, and it's Nikunja Seva. This is where he is. So-and-so said he's so-and-so. Well, Shruti Kirti said Prabhupada is a coward boy, and so therefore I'm going to model my whole life after this. This is not very strong Siddhanta. We should rather go by the scriptures. You know, there's called Guru Parampara. It's a tradition. What is the parampara the Prabhupada's coming in? Because there are paramparas of coward boys, you know. Nityananda had Balaram came as Nityananda along with the Dwadasa Gopal. And Dwadasa Gopal came into this world as Udanandat Thakur and Subal Sakha and others. And they preach, and they have line, they preach Sakyabhav, Sakiras, Braj Bhakti and Sakiras. And they have lines, Guru Paramparas coming from Udanandat Thakur Sampradaya. And they have, and different Sampradayas. And you can follow. So if Prabhupada was in Sakyabhav, he would have come in one of those Sampradayas. This is the natural thing. This is the most important point. What kind of Sampradaya did he came in? He came in the Rupanuga Sampradaya. This is called Rupa Sanatan Padati. He's following the Padati of the path of perfection of Rupa Sanatan. And everywhere he's preaching Rupa Sanatan's teachings. So he's coming, this is the most important thing. What is the Parampara of Srila Prabhupada? It has nothing to do with Sakyaras. This point itself. That's the first question. I don't care anything. So many people say Prabhupada said. I don't care about that. And so many people say so and so Das said. I don't care about that. I care about what Rupa said and Sanatan Raghunath Das and everything that Prabhupada said in his books and tapes in relation to that. What he said when somebody was squeezing his feet, I can't accept that as praman.
Some pious in his home, and they all want to couple wanted to listen from Prabhupada about Radha Krishna Leela, and they insisted that Srila Prabhupada tried, like, didn't want to accept it. And he said, and in the end, he said, I'm not qualified, but they're pushing. He said, maybe you are qualified, but I'm not, like, qualified to describe Radha Krishna like that. So, and also, I'm sorry, again, I want to say, I don't want to contradict you, I just want to.
I think you have a very shallow understanding of Prabhupada. First, let me try to explain some things for you. So I know everything you're saying, and I'll try to clearly answer you.
May I just finish?
Yeah.
I mean, in his lectures, he usually doesn't speak of such a high topic. Basically, the topic he is explaining that we are not this body. I fully agree with all what you said, that you were born and from the childhood you worship Radha Govind, all these things. You have to
consider there are different audiences and there are different levels of devotees. And Bhakti Siddhanta, in terms of Bhakti, because you're mixing up, throwing all these things all together. So first of all, we don't follow Bhakti Siddhanta. We follow our guru's teachings. Prabhupada many times said, don't jump over to Bhakti Siddhanta. He told his disciples, I am your guru, you receive your teachings from me. Don't jump over me and go to Bhakti Siddhanta. Because in 1970s, Achyutananda was reading Gaudiya Math books. The Prabhupada said, what is this? Why are you jumping over? That's the first point. As far as Bhakti Siddhanta, he says first anartha nivritti, then artha pravritti. First anartha nivritti. Nivritti means you should be free from. Means rejection or detachment. You should be free from anarthas, then artha pravritti. Then you can accept the desirable object. And what Bhakti Siddhanta says, we should not read the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna's conjugal loving pastimes should not be read unless one is free from anarthas. That's the specific thing. But Radha and Krishna have many pastimes and they're not intimate. Holy Leela, Julin Leela, so many pastimes. And these pastimes can be read. That's as far as Bhakti Siddhanta is saying. Now Prabhupada, when he's going to some Indian life member's house, people that obviously you have to see who they were they even following any regulative principles? Probably not. And what kind of adhikar did they have? Probably not very much. And so usually they ask things, can you tell us about Radha Krishna's Ras Leela? Specifically, it was not just Radha Krishna's pastimes, but Ras Leela. That was actually the context. The life member said, can you tell us about Ras Leela? And Prabhupada is not going to speak Ras Leela in public, and he never did in public. But he gave us Krishna book. And he said, you must read all my books. And he told you, read it every night. He said, read Krishna book every night before you sleep. This is in every single temple. You're a new devotee. But when we joined, Prabhupada himself, when he was here, he ordered that every devotee reads Krishna book every single night. Which means, he didn't say, only read chapter 1, the birth of Krishna. He said, read Krishna book. And that's Ras Leela. Ras Leela is the sum total of all the Leelas. Krishna is touching the gopis and everything. A to Z is going on in Ras Leela. Everything is there. So, for his initiated devotees who are following the four regular principles and surrender their lives to the lotus feet of Guru, he's saying every night read the Krishna book, which includes Ras Leela. When he goes into a life member's house who has never taken shelter of his lotus feet, not following the four regular principles, and they ask about Ras Leela, he says, gee, I don't know anything about it, I'm sorry, I can't talk about it. So you're mixing all these kind of things. You're mixing, like swans with crows and, this instruction here. You're making like all this kitschy. You have to kind of get a clear view. Who's Prabhupada? It's called time, place, and circumstance. The instructions vary. Like you go in a doctor's office, he says, okay, everybody take this. He doesn't give the same medicine to every patient. So Prabhupada is a master doctor. So you have to consider, who are you in relation to Prabhupada? Are you a life member in relation to Prabhupada? Are you an initiated follower at Prabhupada's feet in the parampara? You have to consider, what is your adhikar? Adhikar means qualification for bhakti. And so that your guru will adjust. But I'm Prabhupada's disciple, as far as what Prabhupada presented to us is, that you are my disciples, you've surrendered to me, you're following me, I'm giving you these books. These books are for my, I'm writing these books for my disciples. Prabhupada said this numerous times. These books are for my disciples to read. That includes Antya Leela. Antya Leela is the most intimate book in the planet Earth. It's all about the most intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And he gave it to us in 1975. 1975. I was in L.A. when they were producing the book. The books came from Japan from the airport. We picked them up. They were flown there by jet, not by boat. We picked them up in the airport. They shipped them to the BBT warehouse. We unloaded them. We're driving back to the airport to sell them, reading Auntie Leela Volume 3 as Bhakta. You know, and it's all about the taste of Krishna's lips and going in a Nikunj with Radharani. And this was the order of Prabhupada, read my books. So I don't know, you know, your understanding of Krishna consciousness, you should see who are you, what is your relationship to the parampara, to Prabhupada, and then adjust yourself to the teachings and instructions which apply to you specifically as a member, as a bona fide member of the Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara, and follow accordingly. Not get mixed up with this guy said that, and this life member said that, and this and that. This is called sadhana sadhya brahm, tattva brahm. It's in Madhurya Kadambini. It means bewilderment about the process of sadhana and the goal, the sadhya. So you should. Yeah, this is a big impediment and stumbling block in bhakti. When one is bewildered, they don't really know what is the sadhana, what should I do? What is the sadhana I should perform to attain perfection? What is the perfection I'm striving to attain? And brahm means illusion, confusion, bewilderment. If you're giving a lecture, in other words, the guru, like Srila Prabhupada, there's different strokes for different folks. He will give, now there is a different stages in a disciple's evolution in bhakti. The guru will say, okay, now read this, now read that, now hear this, now hear that. Generally, Prabhupada, when he's going all around the world, he's opening temples all around the world, and it's all new people, so he's always saying, Dehino shvinya ta dehi, komaram yovaram jura, tata dehantara praftir diras tata namuyati. There are 27 lectures on You're Not the Body. Now, how many lectures are there in Rasleela? Very few, maybe probably zero. So there's, Prabhupada gave no lectures on Rasleela, therefore Rasleela is no. His lecture, you have to see, that's what I'm saying, time, place, and circumstance. You know, he's lecturing, he's only here for a few years. He's here in 1966, he started in 11 years. But he gave us the books, he said, here's the books, now dive deep. And when you read Prabhupada's books, and you read the purports, and you see, then you can see all the proper teachings will come to the heart. Anything else? Yes.
I have a question about this. That sometimes, even at present, sometimes they will just seriously discuss how the Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan movement, like especially good distribution activities, they are in the middle of the gopis, of course, on a very advanced level, and like this. There are certainly some devotees who have been doing that 10, 20, 30 years, like that they find words in this way, and without having too much maybe knowledge of this, it's been commanding that.
I don't really want to comment anymore. It's not like a free forum, you know. Whatever, people have to be guided by the realizations. But they shouldn't misrepresent the Siddhanta. Preaching and bhajan, everything has to be coordinated and understood in a proper anugatya. One has to come in proper parampara. One cannot. The tendency is to concoct different philosophies. So we should trace out everything according to the shastras. There's something called sarup siddhi bhakti, sangha siddha bhakti, aropa siddha bhakti. This is described in Bhakti Sandarbha. And then we can see what are we practicing? And what we call bhakti, what are we practicing? Is it sarup siddha bhakti? Is it aropa siddha bhakti? Is it sangha siddha bhakti? And then we can see this is what the acharyas are defining. This is the type of bhakti we're doing. And this is the kind of result it will give. And then we can try to adjust things. We can't concoct some philosophy that if I'm passing out books, I'm in Gopi Bhav. this is not proper. This is a concoction. Anyone who's in bhava, he sees Radha and Krishna everywhere, whether he's cutting wood and building a house or distributing books or whatever. But it's not that the mere activity of giving a book to someone in an airport is. I mean, I did it for 6 years. I'm not in Rasa Lila Samadhi when I'm giving out a book. Sometimes people concoct things. We have to follow Guru Shastra and Sadhu. This is the important thing. There's so much Khitri and Khitri philosophy.